Blog Talk Radio.
Universalist Church is a first century church. In other words, we have roots to the first century. We come in a direct descension or succession from the apostles. And we have a very Catholic theology, even though we are not Roman Catholic. We could be called an independent Catholic church. We prefer charismatic universalist. However, that being said, we have a liberal social outlook, or what would be called such. If you read the Gospels, we just think we're being like Jesus when we're welcoming, opening, affirming. We call all to the sacraments, regardless of race, gender, sexual orientation, or marital status. Yet our theology would be called more conservative. We believe what we believe and what has always been believed. Since the first century of the Christian church, going back to the apostles. So that's who we are. That's where we're coming from in this. Now, I am myself a paranormal investigator in addition to the apostolic leader of the Charismatic Universalist Church, and I'm going to talk a little bit in this prayer series about some protections that you can do to your home, to your property, to your person, if you are in a place of negativity. Now, it doesn't have to be a haunted home. It doesn't have to be a place where demons are prowling. It could be your work. Sometimes an office is full of more dysfunction and negativity than any household haunted. I tell you, my husband works for the government, and I hear stories that would just curl your toenail. It's unbelievable. But anyway, I digress. So we're going to address that a little bit tonight, and I hope you joined us for that purpose. When we get there, I will tell you to perk up your ears and wake up. So I meant wake up because I drone on, not because. I don't know why I said that. Anyway, it's been a strange Sunday for me. I stupidly took a nap, and now I absolutely cannot get my head into the game. How you can contact us at the CUC? You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com. I believe it's / Charismatic Universalist.Church, or just search for us. Charismatic is with a CH, Universalist. Twitter, it's at Bishop Rake, R-A-K-E, all one word. Our email is charismatic.universalist@gmail.com, and you can leave the dot out or put it in if you're emailing me. If you'd like to donate to us, you need the dot in there, and you can do so at PayPal if you'd like to support this program and all the other educational programs we're offering this year. You could go to our website, www.charismatic-universalist.org, or you could click the follow button just above the pictures on your desktop, laptop, tablet, whatever you're watching on right now, and that will alert you whenever we post a new show, change our schedule, change a time, cancel a show, which hopefully won't happen. But you know what? Life is what happens when you're making other plans. Now, last week I promised you a personality test up on the website, and my week was such with sick kids that I plumb forgot. So that is going up by tomorrow night. I sincerely apologize for that. That was my fault. So it will be up by tomorrow evening, folks, and you can take that, and it will help you. It's all written up. I just need to type it. Now, I've been busy because tomorrow evening on inspireradio.org at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I have my one-hour call-in show with my nephew, Zach. It's a fantastic show. I hope you'll join us. You can call in and ask us all manner of questions, and we will do our best to help you there. This Wednesday, I believe it's at 7:30. Check our lineup on Blog Talk. We have our first in a long series of Bible education programs. Now, folks, if you think the Bible is an intimidating book, and you know you couldn't possibly understand it if you opened it up, and you have, and you have thought it was a good idea to read it from cover to cover, starting with Genesis and ending with Revelation 21:10. That was not a good idea. That is not how you read the Bible. But it's just like the eunuch said to St. Paul in Acts. The eunuch was reading the Old Testament, and St. Paul said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the eunuch, who wasn't Jewish, said, "How could I understand this book if someone doesn't explain it to me?" Precisely. Even Peter, St. Peter, in the Bible said, our brother Paul says many things that are difficult to understand. Even the Bible says the Bible's hard to understand. So, this Wednesday, we will begin a short class on New Testament foundations. It's just a couple of shows in which I will explain everything you need to know about the New Testament. Who wrote it, when it was written, how to read it, what all those words mean, who was Jesus, where does this come from in the Old Testament, what do you mean apocalypse, letter and gospel, why do Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John kind of look alike but aren't quite? All of that. We're going to go over every single stitch of it. However, I promise you that even as a beginner, you will come, this is not, you know, Bible for dummies. You will come away from this class knowing more than your friends who have been going to church for 25 years. I promise you. Because I will bring all 20 years of Bible study, my master's degree, everything I have to bear on this class. So you will learn a great deal. You will have a lot of fun, and you will never be afraid of picking that book up again, I promise. So anyway, that's Wednesday, and then on Saturday every week is our worship service. And then you move to tonight, and tonight we're doing our prayer series. And when our prayer series is finished, we'll do another series about some aspect of spirituality. So as you can see, there's a lot going on right now. We're also working on fundraisers so we can begin weekly physical worship in the Chicagoland area. And I'm building a store with t-shirts with pithy sayings, because it can be a smart aleck sometimes. So please stay tuned to all of that, and let's get into our prayer show. Now, we're talking tonight about visualization. A lot of people, when they look at this, are kind of thinking visualizing, like I'm talking about perhaps some kind of self-help book. Tony Robbins, visualize yourself healthy, visualize yourself to wealth. I know he doesn't necessarily do that, but you'll see all of these, visualize it, visualize it. You can be it if you could just visualize it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about plain and simple use of, one, things that you can see. So you can begin meditation and prayer, like icons, statues, even nature. And two, we're talking about using our imagination at prayer. Now you may be thinking, I'm not a very creative person. That's nonsense. The first skill you ever used with any kind of competence was imagination. When you were a child, your imagination was as heightened as it will ever be. So you know how to do this. I'm not teaching you anything. I'm just helping you remember. So, visualization. I'm going to do a lot more examples with this show than I have in the previous ones, because I really want you to get this. If you can get down visualizing imaginative prayer, then the rest of your prayer life is just going to explode with possibilities, because most people have a tough time saying something and feeling anything. But when you see something, then the feelings start to flow. So we're really going to get into this tonight. Now, visualization, I want you to listen to a song I'm about to play. I just want you to sit, close your eyes. Don't look at any, you can, don't have to close them, but don't look at anything in your surroundings except what this song is bringing to your mind. Just see the images it brings you. It's as simple as that. So hold on a second, I'm going to play this now. Or maybe I'm not, where'd it go? I'm sorry folks, the one I wanted to play disappeared. That's never good. All right, hold on a second. I'm going to play this one. And again, I want you to only see the images you have in your head, okay? Thank you. Now, I'm sure you saw something very gentle, easy, flowing. I always see waterfalls or rivers, trees when I see that. Now, you let the music be your guide instead of your intentions, which is what you do in prayer. But that's passive visualization. In our weekly worship service on Saturday nights, we do a guided meditation where I play music, but instead of passively visualizing, you actively do. You listen to me lead you through a prayer. And the purpose on those episodes is to teach people how to pray that way, because it can be as powerful as taking the Eucharist for some people, even more so for others. So when you're listening to music, when you're daydreaming, you're passively visualizing because you're not controlling the images. You're letting something else control them. In active visualization, in prayer visualization, you are controlling what you see. That's it. There's nothing different about it other than that. Now, of course, actively visualizing might be a little more difficult, but after tonight, I hope that you'll find it quite easy. Now, if all prayer is in the mind, and I talked about this in our first episode, then all of prayer is imagination. It's that simple. Prayer, the organ of prayer isn't the mouth, folks. It's the mind. That has always been the organ of prayer. That has always been the part of your being that performs the action. Now, I want to first, before we get into actual exercises, I want to address, when I talk about visualization, the actual seeing part of prayer. When you use icons or architecture or art or nature to sort of leap you into a prayerful mindset or a prayer itself. A lot of people, mostly evangelical Christians or fundamentalists, have a huge problem with using an icon or sitting in front of a statue or stained glass. And the funny thing is, their arguments aren't new. They're almost as old as the church itself. In the first couple of centuries of the church, it went through one of its attacks, really, one of its first big upheavals called the iconoclast controversy, when people just raged against any kind of art or stained glass or ornamentation of any kind. And of course, the answer to the iconoclasts was, that's not illegal anymore. God had a body. That's who Christ was. We don't have to worry about that anymore. But the argument stems back to, of course, the first commandment. I'm going to read it to you just for the sake of argument. So I can show you what I'm talking about when I say God always intended us to use our sight to lift our minds to heavenly things. He intended that all along. He didn't outlaw it. So let's read the first commandment. It says, and this is from Exodus 20. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods beside me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or a likeness of anything in the heavens above or on the earth below or in the waters beneath the earth. You shall not bow down before them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, inflicting punishment for their ancestors' wickedness on the children of those who hate me, down to the third and fourth generation, but showing love down to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. Now, first of all, we're not doing the whole angry God thing tonight. That's a whole other sermon. But you can hear here the real injunction isn't just against having a graven image. It's against observing a graven image. It's against worship. It's not against the use of icons or statues or art or nature, any of those things to lift your mind to the heavens. Because in this very book, God starts making commandments to make graven images. He tells Moses to make a brass serpent and wrap it around his staff when the people in the desert get bitten by serpents and they're all dying of poison. And Moses lifts the staff and God says, anyone who looks at the serpent will be healed. Well, it's a precursor for Christ on the cross. Anyone who turns to him is healed. But it's a graven image and they had to look up to it. Look at the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant, where the Ten Commandments were placed. God told them to put cherubim on top. Those are angels. They're above the earth. The temple, when he commanded the temple to be made, my goodness, it had inlays of leaf. It had mosaics of angels. It had ducks. It had grapes. I mean, the whole graven image thing was not about using it to bring your mind to God. It was about not bowing to it. And also bear in mind, my friends, photographs are graven images. So if you have a thing against graven images, you better burn those pictures of your kids, because that's what they are. All right. In fact, Orthodox Jews and those of the Hasidim will not allow people to take their picture because of that. Remember, Jesus himself went into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. He could have sat in the desert. He could have sat in a sewer and reached God. Why did he go into the garden? Because it's pretty. It's comforting. It lifts the mind. That's the purpose of the big gold altars in the stained glass, to lift the mind. A lot of people will accuse those of a Catholic bent that they see them in front of a statue, laying flowers on the statue, lighting a candle, kneeling. You're worshiping that statue. Don't be an idiot. We're not worshiping the statue any more than you worship a tombstone when you go and visit a family member and kneel and put flowers down. We don't worship statues any more than people visiting the Vietnam Memorial who leave letters to dead loved ones there are. No, we are looking at the statue and calling to mind a hero of the faith and praying to God. That's it. And there's nothing wrong with that. All right. So if you're listening and you might have had a problem with that, I hope this sort of dispels it, because God wants you to use every tool at your disposal to talk to him. He doesn't care what you use. He just wants you to talk to him. So art, statues, icons, architecture, trees, the night sky, water, whatever you can look at that lifts your mind to someplace else, to someone else, is a prayer tool. Use it. Do you do your best thinking out in the woods? Would that be a perfect place for you to pray? Go. All right, so use those things. Absolutely wonderful. When you go to a church, think about this, and I love the whole architecture argument, because I never thought of architecture as something that would lift the mind, but it does. When you see those vaulted ceilings, I've been to churches that were really auditorium, and I thought, well, it just really doesn't make me think about God at all. But then I think about going into one of the cathedrals in England. We walked into this first room of a cathedral in England, and the first room was a tower, and you looked straight up to the tallest point in the cathedral with nothing in your way. And in there was the largest single stained glass window in the world. It was the size of a tennis court. And what was funny is she told us this as we stood outside, and we were laughing and shoving each other and snapping pictures and chewing our gum and whatever. And then you walked into that room and everybody did the exact same thing. We went, and looked up, and no one spoke again until we left that room. There were 150 people. No one spoke. Why? Because you knew you were on holy ground. When you see something that lifts the mind, you know you are on holy ground. And your attitude becomes one of prayerfulness. That's absolutely the way to think about this. I fill my house with icons. First of all, because I think they're beautiful, especially Russian and Greek icons. But I'll sit in front of them and just look. There's symbols there that mean things, the way the light catches it at different times of day. When people make icons, iconographers, they actually pray specific prayers with each brushstroke. It's a beautiful art. Certainly use them. Right, use them. It's perfectly acceptable. Now, why would visualizing prayer, and I'm talking now about using the imagination, why would visualization as prayer be easier for people than nonverbal prayer? I mean, how hard is it to say Hail Mary or an Our Father or quick thy will be done? No, it's not very, but there are reasons why visualization is better in some circumstances. First, sometimes there's no time to say a prayer. I'm thinking now especially of that paranormal facet or that facet in your office. Whenever you're in a negative place, that one person walks up to you and you know who you're seeing in your head right now. We all have them. That just is a psychic vampire. They suck your energy and your desire to live right out of you, like the Dementors in a Harry Potter novel. And they turn the corner and they're in front of you. And there's no time to say a prayer of protection. You're in a haunted house. You're an investigator. And you walk down a hallway and all of a sudden you just feel the cold presence of something evil. There's no time. So what do? Throw up a wall or bring a wall down, just like in the movies. It's a wall of light, almost like a flashlight in the floor or in the ceiling that comes down hard and fast between you and that person, you and that entity, you and that car barreling right down towards you. As could make it instinctual, practice it, bring it up, bring it down. It is a protective barrier of God. So sometimes visualization works faster, and you're thinking, well, I could have said a prayer, but the verbal prayer, how is that any better? All right, you're saying something, it's still your mind. Why is imagination the organ of prayer? Because we can't see God. Can only imagine just tiny parts of him. We couldn't even imagine the whole of him. Our head would explode like in that Scanners movie, just boom. All right, so that's why imagination is important. And if the verbal prayer is using the mind as much as visualization, they're really no different. You can use the one you're most comfortable with. I recommend visualization for one of the reasons we're about to get to. Another reason nonverbal prayer might be better in certain situations is because sometimes you can't speak. You're in public, you're ill. Let's say you're at an office meeting and someone says, Donna's not going to be here, she's sick. Well, you knew how sick she was last night when you saw her, and now she didn't show up and she's never missed a day. So you're worried. You know, you can't cross yourself. You can in your head say, Lord be with her. Or you can see her in her bed and very quickly shine light down, see God's hand, see Jesus standing next to her bed, holding her hand, just in a flash. It's the same thing. It's happening. What happens in our minds changes reality. I believe that even certain thoughts are reality. They have weight and substance. They are actually some form of matter. And I can prove it mathematically. If E equals mc squared, and C is the speed of light, then energy equals matter moving at twice the speed of light, or the speed of light squared, I'm sorry, which means that matter, the things you can see and touch, is just energy moving too slowly. It's energy moving slowly enough to be seen. That's all that matter is. So it's all about the mind. And your mind is pure energy. It's electric. Boogie, woogie, woogie. So if you do something like that at a time, or you're sick and you just can't talk, and if you've ever had the flu and you've got that fever where you can feel individual air molecules hitting your head like tennis balls, all right, you don't want to speak. You just want to, in your mind, see God pull the fever right out of you. Give you a big old pill. That's why visualization is helpful. But the reason I like visualization so much is number three, because it gives you the feeling that you've prayed, that you've done something. Unlike verbal prayer, when you have visualized something, when you've walked it through in your mind, you've taken an action that feels more real. It feels efficacious. It feels like something happened because you saw it happen. We're ones where, you know, if I tell you, oh, yeah, you know what, I'm going to lose weight, that's not as real as actually visualizing myself doing it. When we visualize things, we have a tendency to do them. When we visualize our thoughts, it feels like they're done, more so than if we say them. For example, here's the Our Father. If you know the Our Father, you can say it with me now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Okay, well, there's your verbal prayer. Do you feel like you've prayed? You know you have, but, I mean, does it feel any different than if you had just said the Pledge of Allegiance? For some people, it doesn't. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm just talking about reality. I'm trying to be honest. And for a lot of people, it doesn't feel like you did anything at all. Now, we're going to try something. And let me put a little bit of music on in the background. There we go. Now, in your mind, I want you to see the things I'm about to say to you. We're doing a visualization prayer. Ready? As you're sitting there, I want you to imagine that the ceiling suddenly opens up to the night sky. You see a million stars. And suddenly the night sky has a window in it that sort of rolls up like a shade. And behind it is this brilliant light. In the window, I want you to imagine seeing this perfect diamond with three points in this white that's whiter than any color you've ever seen. This light that should be blinding but isn't. And while you're looking, I want you to hear a voice boom from this window. Yahweh, I am He who is. And from this light come beams down to the earth. And you can now see the earth from above. And as the light hits the earth, castles of light start to grow from the ground. And all of the people all around the earth, all the pain that they feel and the suffering, all of the anxiety, all of the hatred and violence stops. And all at once, they lay down their arms and they're healed. They're happy. They're hugging. They're all looking up at that window in the sky. And down from that window becomes this little circle of light. And like a snowflake, the size of a quarter, it falls into your right hand. And God says, take and eat. And so you put the light in your mouth and you feel it all through your body. And then the diamond, God, in that window says, I love you, and everything you've ever done wrong is gone. And so is the pain and bitterness that you feel for all of your brothers and sisters on earth who have ever hurt you. And you will never die. And you will never grow hungry. And no one will ever hurt you again. Amen. You just prayed the Our Father using visualization. Do you feel like you did something that time? Not just that you did something. Did you feel something? That's why visualization can be better than verbal prayer. I mean, think back to just what just happened. Now, I do offer verbal, these visualizations, these guided meditations, at the end of all of the services on our archived shows. So if you start grabbing, going back to last December, just listening to the end, you can hear these and use them until you get good at doing it yourself. But that was the Our Father. Our Father was in heaven. He said his name. Everyone on earth acted just like they did in heaven. He forgave you. He helped you forgive everyone else. And now nothing bad will ever happen again. That's it. That's the Our Father. It's the perfect prayer. Oh, and he fed you. He gave you communion, which was actually a piece of himself, which is what communion is. So, that probably felt more real to you than any verbal prayer you've ever done. And as you get better at this, it will feel even deeper and more real each time. Because it actually does something substantial. What you just did is passive visualization. What we're going to do in a minute is active visualization. It is the process of actually focusing your intent on your visualization and making it happen in the way that you want. Now, we're going to do some exercises in a minute. I'm going to play a song for you to sort of get your bearings. Make sure you're comfortable. Make sure it's quiet while we do the rest of these visualizations so that you can really experience them as I teach them to you. Many of them are for protection, like I talked about cleansings, even healings, how to do visualized healing. I do those. I do healings on people. They've been quite successful, and I only use visualization now because I do them remotely. I used to have to touch the person. Now I can do it remotely. And so these are exceptionally helpful. In the meantime, I'm going to play a song. Go get yourself comfortable. Get all set. Get your big comfy chair. I am just looking for a nice song to play to sort of kind of bring you up a little bit. This one will be fun. I'm going to play two songs because I want to give you about 4 minutes to get yourself situated and comfortable, okay?
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round thee rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, and the wonder.
That one is one of my absolute favorites. Okay, so let's try some visualization exercises. I'm going to give you several examples of what you can do for each of these types of prayer you might need. And then I will walk you through one of them, okay? So let's talk about protection. I mentioned in the context of office, or if you're going into a negative situation, if you're going into a haunted home and you're a paranormal investigator. But truly, you should be putting on protection every day from everything. You never know where evil wants to hit you. I wrote a sermon on our Facebook page several weeks ago about how it's easier for the devil to take you out with cigarettes and fried chicken than it is for him to take you out with a serial killer or a bomb. So you are always at risk, and you can use any of these visualizations to protect yourself or even to purge an addiction, a minor one anyway. Do you want to not drink so much soda or something like that? You can visualize yourself pulling the addiction out of you. Imagine it as a sort of string or a hook in you and pull it out. I know this just sounds way too simple to be true and to work, but it does. I've very rarely seen it not work. The only time it doesn't work is when I don't want it to. And honestly, we sometimes pray for things we don't want to. Things we don't want. Not just things we don't need, but things we don't actually want to happen. Lord, make me like you. I don't really want him to do that. Then I'd have to be nice to everybody all the time. I actually kind of want him to make me like him sometimes. But not all the way, because I always want my options open. So we sometimes pray for things we don't even want. But this visualization, it works, folks. It works. And I'll give you some examples after we do each exercise of times when I've done this and it has absolutely worked. First, protection. One of the things you can do, and I recommend using light with most of these as your visualization, light or water, because they're fluid and they're easy to work with if you're trying to cover some space of area. But there's what's called the hedge of light. There's actually even a prayer for this. But you just imagine just a wall of light around you, a wall of light around your home, a wall of light around your car, everywhere you need it. You can imagine around your money. I mean, it doesn't matter what you imagine it around, your pets, but seeing it and holding it there, making sure it feels substantial. And you're going to find something really funny. When you try to do it, you're going to notice that sometimes, even though you absolutely intend to put this coat of light on something, in your mind, you're going to keep slipping. You're going to see it happen. You're going to see the light sometimes not work. And you're going to think, what the hell's the matter with me? Why do I just keep seeing this light tear? Because it's real. Because there's something wrong there. And you will see it if you do this often enough. Those of us who do what's called energy work, or I prefer prayer work, we see these things happen. So the hedge of light. Then there's the armor and sword of light, where you just imagine yourself in knight's armor or holding a shield made of light, blue light, yellow light, gold light, it doesn't matter, or of glass that's solid like plexiglass, or having a sword of light. These things can be made of any material that makes you feel comfortable, as long as it's something like holy. You know, you're not holding black tar or anything, but they could be wooden, but they're unbreakable. They could be marble, but they're not heavy. I recommend light, but if you want to imagine that it's unbreakable steel, that works too. Okay, it doesn't matter what you imagine, as long as you imagine it working. That's the important thing. That's your mind working to change reality at a fundamental level. which we know from quantum physics is up. I'm going to walk you through a visualization with one of my personal favorites, which is the bubble. All right. I've actually read about this in a couple of books by paranormal investigators and whatnot, and it works very well for a lot of people. So I want you to imagine you're at a threshold of a door, and you need to go inside, and this is a place where you're going to need protection. So what I want you to imagine is that there is light coming down from above you. As it comes down like water and rain, it hits an invisible sort of sphere all around you. As it hits the sphere, imagine it running down in a ball around you and then being absorbed by the ball, so that there is a shimmering ball of light around you. Now move around in the ball, and the ball will become tighter and tighter until it's like a second skin about an inch above your body, matching your body and movements perfectly. I want you to imagine that someone is firing arrows at it. Let the arrows hit it and bounce off and break. Imagine someone is throwing knives and spears at it, and they just snap in half as they hit it. Imagine someone uses a flamethrower against it, and the flames just go around. You are uninjured, and your armor is set. It's as simple as that, folks. I mean, that's it. Now, I talked about the sun wall of light that goes up, and that's an important one for sudden need, sudden attacks. Now, after you've been to a place that was difficult, after you've been to a funeral, after you've been to a haunted place, there's something you can do to cleanse yourself of the ickiness that just happened. It's important to do this, to prepare yourself before, but to clear yourself after any experience of negativity, be it paranormal or everyday life. It's good to do this before bed because your rest will be more peaceful. You can imagine it clearing the stress out. Now, what a lot of people like to do is go, you should go outside if you can. If you can't, you can imagine you're outside. But a lot of people actually like to take their bare feet and put them in the grass so they feel the ground. It's to make you feel grounded and rooted in reality. Now, you can imagine leaving work, and before you get to your house, as you need to decompress, you can also imagine yourself driving through just a force field of beautiful, cool mountain water. But the water is like a light water. You don't get wet. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't do anything. It just cleans you. Now, we're going to try one using the blue light water. Okay, now you're coming back from a difficult day, you're full of stress, and you can feel the stress sort of like patches all over you. You just feel icky. So what you want to do is take your shoes off, make sure they're rooted. You can stand up or sit down for them. Now, imagine beautiful, bright blue light like you see at the very center of a candle fall on you like rain. And it's just trickling down, and then maybe a little harder. And as it hits you, it is pulling off a film of gray. In spots of your body that hurt, I want you to see red there and watch the blue light wash the red off until it's all dripping down into the ground. Just let it fall. If it takes longer to see the red and the gray go away, then it takes longer. Just keep seeing the water. Focus on the colors coming off of you and running away from your feet in a stream of water. When you feel clean, turn off the water light and imagine a beautiful fall breeze come into the room and blow around you in a circular motion until you're dry and you're cool but not freezing. You're warm but not hot. And then just sit and relax. Now you can use that one. You can also do like sort of a soaking in water where you're just sort of floating in water, floating in the air, floating in space. That's helpful too before bed. Now, healing. When you do intercessory prayer, which is next week, you're actually focusing and working on healing a particular ailment that a person is having. Now, I do a particular type of prayer with this, and I talked about it on last Monday show on Inspire. What I do is I see the illness or injury in the person, or they may have told me what region, and I go to them and I try to see, but I actually take in information from them. I have several of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, oh my goodness, of the Holy Spirit, and one of them is the, what's it called? Well, it's the gift of healing, but there's also the gift of discernment. I can tell where things are in the body, where the injury is, what it is. I just know what it looks like. And for me, I see colors, I see shapes. So I'm going to do a healing right now. If you're in the chat room, you just want to tell me if there's a particular part of your body or somewhere on you that's ill or hurting, just type it in. While I talk a little bit more about this, because I don't want to just do it on some random person. I'd rather help someone there. So if you want to type shoulder, if it's not you, it's someone else, just shoulder, bad knee, stiff neck, you can go ahead and type that in there. If not, I'll pick someone I know who needs the prayer. Now, someone's typing right now, and we'll do that. Just waiting for someone to type. I don't mean to go quiet on you. It's harder when it's radio and not television because you can't see me waiting. Okay, we're going to work the sinus infection. So I'm going to put on the music that kind of gets me going. This is Hildegard von Bingen. She was a mystic in the Middle Ages who didn't know anything about music and only wrote or describe to people the music she heard in heaven. This is one of them. It's beautiful. Okay, so I'm going to walk you through what I do when I do intercession for healing. Okay? Now, for the person with the sinus infection, just sit back and relax and listen to what I'm doing. So what I do is, I imagine myself with this person. He's sitting in a chair. I'm seeing a red chair. And so I arrive, but I see to my right and to my left angels and certain saints that I bring with me on these trips. You don't have to bring anyone, but I recommend it. Because when you see what I do, I'm not taking the illness myself. I'm going to hand it off to someone. So I see myself walking with St. Michael, St. Gabriel, St. Raphael, the archangels, St. Benedict, and Padre Pio. I also have Jesus and the Virgin Mary with me. We approach the chair, and I see myself take my right hand and just sort of run it in front of this gentleman's face. I can feel the heat from the sinus infection, and I visualize two dark kidney-type things right above the eyes going down into the nose. What I'm doing is, I'm imagining that there's a little piece of that black spot sticking out of the top of the forehead. And I reach with my hand and I take that piece and I pull the black out through the forehead until in my mind the black is gone on his left side. And then I turn and I hand the illness or infection to St. Raphael, who flies off with it. I go over to the gentleman's right side and I grab the little piece of black there and I pull it. And I pull it, and it feels like the right side was worse than the left. And I pull it out, and I hand it to St. Gabriel, who flies off with it. I see a little bit of black still left near the nose, and I pull it again from the top, from the forehead, until I see that black go, and that black's gone. And I hand it to St. Michael, who flies off with it. There's a problem with the right ear that I see. It's gray and stuffed up. Probably an infection. So I reach in and I pull the gray out. St. Raphael is returned. I hand that to him. Now the person looks clear to me. And I see in their face just yellow light, white. There's no black or gray, which is what the illness or injury looked like when I arrived. So I walk up to him and put my hand over his forehead. And Jesus and Mary, Padre Pio and Saint Benedict, lay hands on his shoulders and arms and back. And we fill him with white light, especially in the areas where he was ailing. And there was a little fever, and it's going down. And his body is just feeling like he's floating. And then I stand here, and I ask the angels and saints with me to lay their hands on me and pray over me to clear me of any of the illness, to make sure I don't take it on myself. And then we stand up, and we turn, and we leave the room. Now, that's how I do healings. If you're praying for someone, your friend had a sinus infection, all you have to imagine is seeing them at home and watching Jesus walk over to them and put his hand on their forehead and pray over it, or just touch them, or just light going to their heart, light covering their surgeons, light covering their hospital room. It's that simple. You don't have to make it complicated. That may have sounded more complicated, but that's because I'm actually a professional healer, and I have to do it that way. So that's how you can do intercession that way. if someone has a sick child, imagine that child in their bed and just light pouring over them, flowing through them the way you did it with the water over you, except watching it go inside them. You can see the circulatory system. You can see the lungs. Just watch it go through. That way you can do intercession that way. Now, if they're not sick, you can do one in which light and wind come down in sort of a swirling motion and lift the person up. And they just move them around in your mind, slowly turning them and filling them with light. If they need strength, you ask for the light to be strength. If they need peace, you ask for the light to be peace. If they need comfort, you ask them to be for comfort. Now we're going to do an actual longer guided meditation, and I'm going to show you how to do a full visualization using perhaps music if you like or an icon for a good 5-minute prayer that you can do in the morning, in the evening, or whenever you need it, right after this.
Loving kindness as the flood,
Okay, I love the last line of that. Hence, peace and perfect justice kissed a guilty world in love. An amazing line. Love it. Anyway, we're going to do a guided visualization. So this is what we do at every single one of our worship services. Unfortunately, last week, I misjudged how long it was going to take me to get through the service, and so we couldn't do it. But if you go to earlier shows, last January, February, March, April, there's one at the end of all of them. So that's what we're going to do here. And if you join us on Saturday, you'll hear this again. So we'll start. I want you to sit with your feet solidly on the ground, your hands on your knees or folded in your lap. Breathe in through your nose to a count of three and out through your mouth for a count of three. So in, one, two, three, out, two, three. In, two, three, out, two, three. Now lengthen it. In, two, three, four. Out, two, three, four. In, two, three, four. Out, two, three, four. Okay? I want you to, as you're breathing, tense and relax the muscles in your calves. Now tense and relax the muscles in your thigh. Keep breathing in, two, three, four, out, two, three, four. Now tense and relax the muscles in your low back. Tense and relax the muscles in your upper back. Tense and relax your hands. Tense and relax your biceps. Tense and relax your shoulders. Now tip your head to the left, touching your ear towards your shoulder. You don't have to touch all the way. Now bring it center and stop. Now to the right. Ear to the shoulder. Now bring it center and stop. Continue to breathe in through your nose slowly and out through your mouth slowly. I want you to imagine that you're standing next to a river. There are trees around you. It's an old forest. The water's moving by you, not too fast, not too slow. It's a smallish river. You can see to the bottom. The water is clear. As you stand there, you hear someone walking up behind you. You turn and it's Jesus. He's wearing a white robe and smiling as he walks towards you with his arms outstretched. He gives you a big, tight, long hug. And he says in your ear while you're embracing, I've missed you so much. I'm so glad you came to see me. He lets go of you and puts his hands on your shoulders. And smiles. And then he raises his hand and invites you to a large rock on the side of the river. And the two of you walk over and you sit
Just look at the water. Feel Jesus next to you looking. Feel the love of his presence. He turns his head to you and says, "You look like something's bothering you. Is everything okay?" And you look down and you tell him, "Actually, there are a couple things I wanted to talk to you about. So I want you to now tell Jesus the things that are bothering you." And Jesus nods and says, "Yeah, that's tough. But you know I'm here. Whenever you want to talk, tell me everything. And then maybe I can help you solve your problems." And he puts his arm around you. And you just sort of lay your head against his shoulder as you look at the river. Jesus says, "You know, I've got something I want to tell you. I love you so much. I'd do anything to be with you for just a minute. But there is something else you need to hear right now. Something important for what's been going on with you." And Jesus leans in to give you a personal message. Listen closely to his voice in your heart when I stop speaking. As you sit on that rock, his arm around you, Jesus says, then he pulls you closer with his arm and the two of you sit upright. And Jesus says, "You know what would help? All of that crap you're carrying around with you that's bothering you, that stress, stupid stuff you're mad about, why don't you get rid of it for now?" And you say, "How?" Jesus says, "They're like rocks in your pocket. Pull the rocks out of your pocket one by one. Name the stress or the anger or the bitterness. Toss it in the water. So now reach in your pocket and pull out the three big things that are bothering you right now. Look at the rock. Name them. For example, my financial woes. Throw it in the river. Do the first one. And now the second one. And now the third one. Jesus says, "You know, your step will be a little lighter without that. If you need to throw them away again, you can come here and do it. You can come here and see me anytime you want, my son, my daughter." And so the two of you get up off the rock, walk away from the water together. Jesus gives you another hug and says, "I love you, man. I love you so much." And then the two of you walk in opposite directions. Breathe in, 2, 3, 4. Out, 2, 3, 4. In, 2, 3, 4. Out, 2, 3, 4. And that's a guided prayer meditation. You can do that for all of your prayers. Just imagine yourself in your favorite place in the world, in the universe. It doesn't even have to be a real place. Sit there, see Jesus next to you in your mind, and just start talking. As we move through each of these types of prayers, you will use visualization for a lot of them. You can imagine Jesus sitting in the seat next to you and talking to him. You can imagine him in the kitchen with you while you're working. Just imagine his presence with you. See him in the living room. See him in traffic. See him everywhere, anytime you need him. And you will get to the point where you're with him all the time. And you'll have reached the pinnacle of prayer, the practice of the presence of God. That's the very last episode of the show. If you can get there before I do in 7 weeks, more power to you. I'm just talking about it. Like I said in the first episode, don't let listening to a show about how to pray make you think that you've actually prayed. You have to do the work. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this evening. This is going to sum up our visualization prayer. We'll conclude for the evening. Next week, we're going to do intercession. And now with intercession, we're also going to talk about the saints. How do you use the saints in prayer? How do we bring Mary into it? What is all that stuff? We'll talk about that along with intercession next week. And intercession is anytime you pray for something you need or want. That's it. You're interceding. So we'll go over that. We'll go over the biblical basis. And I'll show you ways to do it, either visually or with verbal prayer. So that, you know, have you ever thought to yourself, God, I have promised so many people to pray for them and I'm just forgotten everybody. It's okay. I'll show you how to take care of that too. It's really neat. Anyway, I hope you have a wonderful night, everyone. May God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve God by always loving and serving each other. Thanks be to God. Good night, everyone.